And affirmed of what we have just finished singing, we're reminded of the passage of 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, that there is no other foundation laid than that is laid, Jesus Christ, the church's one foundation. The importance of building on the foundation, we are reminded from the time that we sing as children to what we spent time studying yesterday of the parable of the wise man and the foolish man, and understanding according to Luke's account in Luke 6 of how the wise man digged deep and built his house on a solid foundation. We are able to withstand the storms of life, and we're able to withstand the threats of the devil as we are saved when we are added to his church. How good it is tonight that we can be individuals, or can we be individuals who can firmly say, as in another hymn, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages, rich, but not from Satan's wages. Amen. I'm standing on the solid rock. Tonight, let's talk about that foundation of Christ, and let's think about a couple of things as we begin. If you, no matter what religious group you may be a part, or when you ask the average person that's got some type of Bible knowledge, and although in-depth study may show differently, there are two things that a person would affirm. One, the idea of religion or church is from God. The second thing, the Bible is God's Word. Now again, you may enter into some in-depth discussion and people might have other ideas that are way out there. But nevertheless, you'll find a person that would affirm that if they have some type of knowledge about religion or the church or the Bible. So tonight, the only source that we can use is to take God's Word, the Holy Bible, and we want to take a look tonight at the church. Now, if one looks online, one will find hundreds and thousands of different churches. Question, are they all right? Can we honestly say that one church is as good as another, and how can one find the right church? Would you like to see the first time Jesus used the word church? Would you take your Bibles and go to Matthew, the 16th chapter with me as we go to verse 16, to when Jesus is there on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, what is now today modern day Tiberias. And in Matthew 16, beginning with verse 16, after Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They say, well, some say you are Elijah, and so on and so on. Jesus said, but whom do you say that I am? And picking up in verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So friends, when I look here in the Bible, this is the church that I want to know more about. It is the church we will discuss tonight and tomorrow night as we continue the series of lessons on building on the rock. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Now that's the church that I want to know more about, because that's the church that I do read of in the Bible. Would you notice with me, first of all, upon this rock I will build my church. Because Jesus would say his Father purposed the church. This is an astounding truth that just absolutely amazes me, taken from Ephesians 3, verses 9 through 12, when Paul told the church there to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, what you will have fellowship and embrace what has been revealed, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished or purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. The eternal purpose. Let's build on that a little bit more. Before time began, before God said, let there be light, He had the light of the world, Jesus Christ, John 8:12, in mind. He knew He would be the one that He would purpose the church within Jesus Christ. Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, he's writing there to Christians, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Allow Peter to speak in 1 Peter 1, 18 and following, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversation or empty lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, there it is again, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, and raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, what a beautiful thought. To imagine that tonight as we assemble together as the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we assemble together tonight, that the very assembly, the idea of the church, God had in mind in Christ before time began. Oh, friends, there is not another church of which I would want to be a part, nor could I encourage others to be a part of something else. So what should the lover of God desire? Well, may I suggest to you, the church that was in the mind of God, hidden in God and revealed to man through Christ, or a man-made church devised by man or by men? Well, a sincere believer, friends, would want to know more of God's plan. They would want to know more of the church of Christ Himself. The church through faith Christ, in which one has boldness, access, and confidence. Would we want to be part of that church or a man-made church that, to be honest, can't have the same boldness, the same access, and the same confidence? Do we want to put our boldness and our confidence in man or in God? And I think we know the right answer. Friends that are here tonight and friends that are viewing us online, our plea is to be part of the church that God purposed before time began. Nothing more. We don't need anything more. And certainly nothing less. To be a part of that church we read of in the Bible. Let's keep building on the rock. Upon this rock I will build my church. How can that be said? Because not only purposed in the mind of God, but prophesied by the pen of the prophets. As prophets of God penned those things guided by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. I take us back to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 2, to when Isaiah said the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now this is written some 700 to 750 years before the book of Acts. And it is amazing to look and see the writing of Micah in Micah 4, verses 1 and 2, as Micah was guided by the Holy Spirit, saying, in essence, the same thing that Isaiah has said. Two prophets of God bringing it forth. When you and I note that phrase, last days, there in Isaiah chapter 2, I now take us to Isaiah chapter 2. I'm sorry, from Isaiah 2 to Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament. In verse 16, Peter stands, he's preaching with the 11. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Aha! Now we've got another one. Here is Joel, who what we are about to read was in Joel 2. So you've got Isaiah 2, you now go to Acts 2, but you can't forget Joel 2, when here is Peter speaking of that written by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your young old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of that great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now friends, three prophets spoke of the church. Isaiah, Micah, and Joel. Here's a quick question for you. What should the lover of God desire? Would the lover of God desire the church presented by God-led prophets through inspiration, or a man-made church or denomination? Which one, friends, is upon the rock? Notice the word of the Lord would come forth from Jerusalem, the words of Isaiah. I now take us to Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 47. Where Jesus is before the 11, the 12th one, Matthias, is not to be added yet. That's coming up in Acts 1. But he says, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. He then opened their understanding that they might comprehend, understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now watch verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Excuse me, Isaiah? Yes, Jeff. May I ask you a question, Isaiah? Yes, you may. Did you say that all nations would flow unto that church or unto that what would set up in Jerusalem? Yes, I did, back in Isaiah chapter 2. Thank you. Where are they in Acts chapter 2? They're in Jerusalem. And what are they preaching? Well, when you go to verse 38, Peter's answering a question. When they ask in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, is repentance and remission of sins preached in the name of Christ at Jerusalem, as Jesus said they would do in Luke 24? Yes. And what's happening in Acts chapter 2? The very thing that Jesus told them, that they would return to Jerusalem and preach. Got a question. First of all, this still amazes me. Folks, I grew up in the Lord's church. It is all I've ever known. But the more that I go back to the scripture, and the more that I look, and I see how God had the church in mind. And not only did he have the church in mind before time began, but how prophets of God could write about it. Oh, it takes me to that beautiful text in 1 Peter 1 where the prophets, where angels desired and prophets inquired of what they were writing. and the prophets of God. So let me ask a question to the sincere lover of God. Now, would one not want to be a member of this church that Jesus mentioned, with its roots in the eternal purpose of God, brought forth and expressed by the prophets of God? Who would not want to be a part of that church? Who would turn down that opportunity? Let's keep building on the rock. And friends, we're going to end where we began. May I take you back to Matthew 16? I see the purpose of God. I see the prophets write it. And now I see the promise of the Christ, because he has the authority to say so. He now brings forth that promise. I want us to look a little closer. We read Matthew 16, 16 through 19 moments ago. Let's go back and look at it. And would you notice in verse 16, what did Peter tell him? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 17, it is the Father who revealed that to Peter. And you and I can see the authority of Jesus all through, that God has placed within his eternal purpose and the prophets of old has penned. And Jesus said, I promise to build my church. What a beautiful thought upon this rock. Now friends, let's do address this thing here. When he says upon this rock, is he referring to the character Peter or the confession of Peter? I like to use a line by the late Tom Holland. Folks, I do know a little Greek. He runs a restaurant in Nashville. And so I'm not a Greek scholar, but I have enough sense to research and to look at words, and that word rock is interesting. When Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, again our question, is it the character Peter or the confession of Peter? Let's look. When you look at the word rock itself, it is a Greek word that stands for a mass of rock. It's the same word used for the stone that was rolled in front of the tomb of Christ in Matthew 27 and verse 60. Now when you look at Peter, that name also means rock, but it's a different word in the Greek that means a detached stone or boulder or a stone to throw or easily move. Well now friends, you know the stone that was rolled in front of the tomb was not easily moved. Peter, his word, his name, a stone, something that is small. So when someone says upon this rock, that means upon Peter, Jesus would build the church. But what's going to happen is when the divine builds the church upon a human, it's going to fall. Think about Peter. Now, I'm careful how I say this, and we're careful how we believe it, because we can fall just like Peter, and many of us do day by day. I mean, Peter, he denied the Christ. He came back. When he said, I go a fishing, he didn't know what else to do when Jesus died and was buried. But when Jesus appeared to them, if you remember, Peter dove off in the water. The reason was because he was naked. Peter himself, how impetuous he was. Did not Jesus even call him Satan at one time and say, get behind me? So when you look at Peter, to build a church upon a man is not the wisest thing. But to build the church upon the foundation, Jesus Christ, and to build the church he promised to build, allow Jesus to do the building. Friends, without a doubt, it's the confession of Peter. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the rock on where we stand and the rock on whom we live. You cannot go wrong. I cannot go wrong when we look upon Jesus Christ as the Son of God who had the authority from God to build His church. Authority that God gave Him. I mean, after all, in Matthew 17, verse 5, after they wanted to build the tabernacles for Moses and for Elias and for Christ, there were the three we saw, Peter and James and John would say, what did the voice out of the cloud from above say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. The same one that Moses prophesied of back in Deuteronomy 18, 15 and following and stated by inspiration in Acts 3, 22 and 23 when Peter and John proclaimed Christ, this is the one to whom Moses was speaking. What a beautiful thought. For the lover of God, may I ask a question? Do you want to place your trust in the church that Christ had the authority to build, or do we want to place our trust in man-made churches that Christ did not give the authority to build, nor was He given that authority? Now friends, we know the answer. I could not in all good conscience encourage anyone to be a part of a church that we cannot find in the New Testament. I could not encourage anyone to be a part of the church that was not purposed in the mind of God, prophesied by pen of the prophets of God by inspiration, and promised by the Christ. When you take a look, God the Father purposed in His mind. The Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, guiding the prophets to write. And Christ, the Son of God. Christ, God in the flesh. Matthew chapter 1. Spoke He would build His church. The Father, the Spirit, and the Son all affirm. And friends, I've got to be honest. That's good enough for me. A lesson as this tonight has probably been heard by so many of us that are members of the Church of Christ. We've heard it preached for years, the church is purposed, the church is prophesied, the church is promised, and if it still preaches, there's no need to change it. Friends, may we, first of all, be reminded as members of the church to be thankful that we can walk as members of the body of Christ, as His servants, Romans 6, 16 and 17, as a chosen generation, a holy nation, a people for His possession, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, and simply live faithful lives for God and serving Him every day and to be reminded and to be renewed as we press onward. To be renewed in the spirit of our minds, Ephesians 4 and following, and to grow therein as new creations in Christ, and not go looking for all other answers. Tonight at the supper table, my, it's good to be in a part of the country where you can say supper and you don't have to translate it. I told somebody the other day, they said, what's the difference of dinner and supper? I said, dinner is what you eat when it's cooked at noontime. If it's a sandwich, it's lunch. If it is a cooked meal, it is dinner. Well, what do you eat at night? Supper. What is that? Whatever's cooked. But tonight we're sitting around the supper table and we're talking and it amazes me, dear friends, how elders, shepherds over the church, and need to be reminded it's not their church, it's not their congregation, it's the name of Christ, it's the church that belongs to Him. We're going to get very dangerous when we start rethinking or restudying a matter. But friends, in my experience, the conclusion doesn't match up to Scripture. We need to quit rethinking what God has already thought out. And we need to abide within His Word because we cannot improve on His Word. How can we improve on a church that existed in the mind of God? The sheer arrogance blows me away. How can I improve on that? How can I create a church better? How can I prophesy of something to come forward? Folks, I can't even predict the NCAA basketball tournament correctly. How can I promise to build something that I cannot back up or even purchase or even allow it to bear my name? We simply can't. I want this lesson tonight to serve for two purposes. One purpose is to remind those of us who are Christians not to be haughty, not to be arrogant, but to be confident in Christ Jesus and to be bold in Christ Jesus as we were instructed and as we are instructed in Ephesians 3 and verse 12. I've used this illustration in every state I believe I've ever preached in, and it still works. A lot of you, when I come here to Leone, remember my days within the grocery business, and there was a time that I worked for Nabisco. The story was told to me back before I started with them, when the soft cookie, chocolate chip cookies were all the craze. People love the soft cookies, and Duncan Hines came out with a soft cookie in a red bag that stood up about that high, about that wide. One day there was a manager at an H.G. Hill grocery store in the Nashville area, walked up to the Nabisco rep, walked to the end of the Nabisco section, looked at him and said, "I need this 2 feet right here on the end for the new Duncan Hines cookies." Folks, number one, you could have slapped us and we could have taken that better than for us to lose any space on the aisle. We had the top cookies, the top crackers. We gave the best service. We did not like losing space. None whatsoever. Well, the rep began to defend and he looked at the manager, Mr. Bob McClard, one of the finest managers Hills had. He said, "But Mr. McClard, that's my space." He said, "I see." He said, "Tim, will you come with me for a moment?" He literally took him out of the store, took him out to the edge of the parking lot there on Gallatin Road in Madison, turned Tim around, put his arm and said, "Tim, what does that say on that building right there?" Tim said, "H.G. Hill Stores." He said, "That's right. Mr. Hill has given you the space you're using, and Mr. Hill needs 2 feet of his space back." I said, "Tim, what did you do?" He said, "Mr. Hill got 2 feet of his space back." But folks, this has got nothing to do with the sermon, but it's the old cookie man in me, the old grocery man in me, and I've got to get it out of me. Go to a store today and see if you find Duncan Hines cookies. Thank you very much. Here's the point of the lesson, friends. Maybe it's time that we as shepherds, as deacons, as members of the body of Christ, His church, maybe it's time we get up out of the pew, walk out to the road, look at the sign and see whose name's on the sign. And when it says Church of Christ, He wants His name back. He wants His name prevalent. He has all the authority. The church was purposed in Him, and the church was prophesied concerning Christ. And when we speak of the church, friends, we would plead for anyone to be a member of that church, because we learn that those that were added to that church in Acts chapter 2, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And today is a daily. Are you a member of the church we've talked about tonight? On the day of Pentecost, they were believers because they gathered together on a feast. They believed in God. They believed in what was preached. And they were told to repent of their sins, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. They would be added to the church. Tonight, if you are living in your sins, and your sins need to be remitted, then that's what you do tonight. If you've never put on the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism based upon your faith, with a repentant heart, changing your decision, changing your direction, and coming unto Jesus Christ and confessing your faith, you can be baptized tonight just like 3,000 on Pentecost, just like that eunuch in Acts chapter 8, just like those in Samaria, just like that jailer in Acts 16, and you will be added to the church that we read of in the New Testament. Nothing more. Don't need nothing more. It's the very best, and certainly nothing less. You can be added to the church tonight. Would you not want to be added to the Lord's church tonight? Well, I need to think about that, Brother Jeff. Well, if you think in your sins, okay. But if you die in your sins while you're thinking, it's going to be too late. Now look, if you know what you need to do, there's no better time to do it than now. And dear brother or dear sister, do you need to be reminded whose name's on the sign, if you will? Have you walked faithful for Christ, and are you still walking faithful for Him? Or do you need prayers on your behalf? Prayers of forgiveness, maybe prayers of strength. We hope tonight will revive you, whatever condition you are in. Know the Lord's invitation is extended. And will you come now as together we stand and while we sing?